saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is a very special edition of Inside Boxing Live. We are reacting to that Times Square Fatal Fury debacle in Times Square. It is Dan Cadelbio. It is Chris Algieri. We are presented by PPV.com. As always, big fights coming up this summer. Join us on PPV.com. Follow along on socials. We'll have a lot more for you this summer via PPV.com. Chris Algieri, it is Saturday, May 3rd at 11:30 a.m. I have a hangover, and it's not from alcohol. It's from whatever that event was in Times Square. Where do we even begin, my friend?
Well, first of all, we're gonna begin by changing the name from Fatal Fury to Fatal Flop, because that card was atrocious.
It was fatal. Some people probably died watching it.
It was fatal, all right. Some people's careers died as well.
Oh, my God. Jim Lampley, our friend, who I thought stole the show, was great.
Yep.
He had the line of the night. The line of the night. He was talking after the Haney fight. He goes, well, in order to sleep, you have to dream. Or did I say it wrong?
I don't remember that part.
I said it wrong. After the Haney fight, worst fight of the night, worst fight I've ever, probably maybe top five worst fight I've ever seen, Haney and Ramirez. In order to dream, Devin the Dream Haney, you have to sleep. And a lot of us fell asleep during that fight.
Yikes.
Lampley said that. I was like, bars, Jim. This is probably why you didn't work for the last 7 years, because you keep it too real.
Yeah. I liked before the... I think it was as the Garcia and Romero fight was starting. He was like, well, none of these fights have been very good tonight. And he's like, this is the only one that's left in order to actually be a good fight.
It was so refreshing to hear that, because it reminds me of the HBO days where him, Merchant, Max, if a fight sucked, they were just like, this fight sucks.
Yeah.
And that's it. And
those days are over. Those days are over now, because now you hear these commentators and they're just blowhards.
It's an infomercial. It's just,
God forbid you say anything incorrectly, you're not going to get a call back for the next show. It's ridiculous. That's when you're Jim Lampley, though, you're that big. You can say whatever you want. Those days are gone.
One small part of the card was Jim Lampley's return. I thought he was good. Times Square. Let's just go there real fast. Like, this wasn't what they promoted. They promoted it. A few months ago, Ring posted, when they announced this card, they posted something on social media, a graphic, and it was Times Square full to the brim with a ring, and this is going to be an unprecedented 400,000 people are going to walk through this and see a fight. That was a month ago. Fast forward to fight night, 8-foot walls. You could not see into the ring from the street. You had to be inside. Inside were rich people, were celebrities, were... selected media. So don't tell me that this was for the people and this was some wide event to bring more eyeballs to the sport. No, this was a closed door, felt like COVID times, elite status event that was not seen by the masses. So first off, that really annoyed me. And I think
when the restaurants made restaurants on the front and like the front of the building, like just outside, like that feeling where it's like, well,
outdoor seating.
Inside the outdoor seating, and just going to create another outdoor structure. For people at home who don't know, because I know, Dan, you were posting about the walls, like there was literally giant red walls blocking the view of the ring. So it wasn't like you were just like walking around Times Square and we're like, oh cool, there's a ring and there's a fight. It really was invite only. If you weren't there, you weren't seeing it.
Yeah, that part wasn't great. We'll touch on that later on, but let's go into the fights. Let's start with Rolly Romero stuns Ryan Garcia, drops him in the second round, cruises to a unanimous decision victory, 115-112 on two cards, 118-109. That's a little wide, but it wasn't any controversy here. Rolly Romero beat Ryan Garcia fair and square, stuns everyone. This guy was a plus 700 underdog heading into the fight. I mean, this dude was not supposed to win this fight. He this ruins or upends the Ryan Garcia-Devin Haney rematch. But Rolly looked great. Most disciplined fight we've ever seen from Rolly. Stab, jab to the body. You know, great defense, keeping that hook away from Ryan Garcia. Wasn't able to land his signature hook. We'll talk about Ryan Garcia too. But Rolly really impressed me in this fight and had a lot of people eating their words, us included.
I wouldn't say he looked great because Ryan literally didn't even show up. But Rolly did look very disciplined. He kept his hands in right position. He had a game plan. He used his aggression, his in and out, his kind of herky jerky movement to offset Ryan, who just couldn't get his rhythm at all. But honestly, even before he got dropped, once he got dropped, the fight was essentially over because Ryan looked like he wanted to go home then. As soon as he went down, he looked embarrassed. He looked like he didn't want to be there anymore. He made zero adjustments after that. He didn't try to win the fight. So that's why I'm going to put a little asterisk next to Rolly's performance because it wasn't a great performance. He didn't really.
Well, if you graded on what Rolly is.
He fought a very disciplined fight. He fought a very disciplined fight. He kept his hand position very, very tight. He looked very confident. He looked comfortable. But even in the first round before Ryan got dropped, I thought he actually had a pretty good first round coming out with the jab. He just didn't look as explosive. He didn't look as fast. He looked like he was like trying to throw his left hook. It wasn't like it usually is. Like when we were at the Haney fight, that first round, he whipped the left hook immediately, like right away, and it whizzed in front of Haney's face. And I looked at you and I was like, yo, that thing is fast and hard. And he just didn't have that at all last night. None of his hooks looked like that. There was no whip on the shots. He didn't look powerful. He didn't look fast. He didn't look twitchy like he normally does. Ryan just didn't have it last night, from physically to mentally. And Rolly's was locked in. That was you said it perfectly. That was the most disciplined Rolly's I've ever seen. And it worked out, man. It was an easy fight to score. There wasn't a whole lot going on, but congrats. I tip my hat to Rolly's, man. He did it. I didn't think he would. I thought he was gonna get knocked out like most people, but man, he did it. He's a new player.
Think of Rolly against Ismael Barroso. Think of Rolly versus Pitbull, how bad he looked in those fights.
Oof, yeah.
Think of Rolly early on in the lead up to the Tank fight when everyone's like, this is who Tank is fighting, this guy who looks like he's never boxed before. His technique is so strange. Just everything about him is just a little off. From that to what we saw on Friday night, granted, versus a Ryan Garcia who just wasn't himself. That's why I looked at this as a great performance from Rolly, because he has just gotten better and better. And taking that Manuel James fight was huge for him. Like that was the right fight at the right time for Rolly to get his confidence back, not hop right into a big fight, take that James fight, get 10 hard rounds, figure it out, then step into this Ryan Garcia main event. And all week long, I thought Rolly handled himself perfectly. I was with him. I interviewed him. You know, he just wasn't buying into all the hype. He wasn't acting crazy. He was just being very, very respectful of Ryan Garcia, being respectful of the whole, you know, all the fighters up on the stage. He wasn't giving wild interviews. He was just being Rolly. And I think you were watching a mature version of this guy. I'm happy for him. I don't know what he'll be at 147 because this is the weight class he's at now. I don't think of him up there with Jerron Ennis and some of the other guys at 147, but, you know, he's in that discussion now. I mean, he might get a Haney fight. He might get a Teofimo fight. Great for him. Awesome for him. On to Ryan Garcia. Like you said, Chris, like he looks like he was thinking about throwing that left. It wasn't instinctual. It reminds me of like a baseball player who's trying to hit a home run when they're in a slump and not letting it come to them, or an NBA player that's just forcing it too much and not just letting it be instinctual, just flowing into the shot. That's what happened with Ryan Garcia on Friday night. He said it felt like a fever dream. He blamed the venue, said the venue fighting outside was weird. It didn't feel natural. Talking about natural, I mean, he came into this fight coming off the PED, two failed PED tests. That's a big story in this fight is, you know, is this a guy that's not on PEDs? Is this what Ryan Garcia looks like when he's not failing drug tests, looking like a C-minus fighter, looking like an average fighter? That's going to be asked, and he might not like it, Ryan Garcia, but it's going to be talked about. This guy came in on weight for the first time, which he hasn't done in years, and was not on PEDs, and he did not look like he looked like against Devin Haney. He looked like a different human being.
Yeah, you can't not bring it up now. Like, listen, if he went out there and he won and looked good and looked spectacular and did what he normally does, I think a lot of people had forgiven him. You know, not the hardcores, but I've forgiven him for the PED allegations. Well, not even allegations. He had the stuff in his system, but they were saying like it was an accidental thing. I think people were overlooking that. They were like, oh, you know what? You know, it probably was just tainted supplement. Now he's good. But now, after this performance, it just brings all of that back. Because then you got to look at this like, all right, well, he had that stuff in his system last time, the Osterine, the SARM, and he looked super good, like fast, explosive, powerful, dropping Haney like over and over and over again. Then in this fight, he looked like he couldn't crack an egg. So you have to bring that back into the discussion, which that sucks for Ryan. You know, it's, you seem like he had it behind him. Well, it's right back now. So people are going to be talking about that. I've already seen a couple pundits out there saying like, well, this is what happens when you don't have the juice in you. It's going to cause a lot more questions for Ryan Garcia. And another thing about, you know, questions about Ryan Garcia, does he even want to do this? Does he want to be here anymore?
Man, good question, bro.
He didn't look like he wanted to be in there last night. Has he made too much money? Has all of that craziness that was happening to him, you know, or happening to him that he was doing, you know, to himself last year. Did that take a lot out of him? Did that age him quick? I don't know, man. There's so many questions. Ryan's always an enigma, but now I think there's more questions than ever.
There's a lot. Now we're combining two parts of the Ryan Garcia full package here to really ask a lot of questions. Does he want to be there from a mental standpoint? And is he good enough from the physical standpoint, what we see in the ring? Like, now those are crashing together and we're seeing a flat performance and we're seeing just, strange answers afterwards, just not the same guy. So, yeah, that's a pretty valid question to ask about Ryan Garcia. And it's like, are these guys making too much money? I'm very happy for these guys, and they're making these exorbitant purses. And it's all now in the last couple of years where the purses have really, really gone up. And I just saw a guy that just like, he didn't have any urgency. He didn't have urgency.
That was the whole card, though.
That's what I'm getting to. Like,
yeah,
no
you're
one
making
had
a good point. You're making a good point about the money.
I feel like everyone was okay or content with losing. Or okay with how the fight was going. Devin Haney was content with whatever the heck he did inside of that ring because he's getting paid like crazy. Turkey says before the fight, he was on with McAfee, and he goes, the difference between me and every other promoter in years past, win or lose, I'm still going to do business with all these fighters. I told every fighter that when I met with them one-on-one. And I think that's great, of course. Like, we don't want to see fighters after they lose, you know, get forgotten about. But if you eliminate like the ramifications of losing a fight, if you're thinking in the back of your head when you're in that ring, like, I'm losing this fight, but I'll be back. Like, Turkey's got me, you know, I'll fight again. That creeps into your head, and I think we saw that with Ryan Garcia. Of course, I'm making assumptions here, but I think that's what we do. Like, I think we're seeing that where these guys are getting paid exorbitant amount of money, and we're probably going to see Ryan Garcia again. Would not be shocked if we see Ryan versus Haney. That's going to force it in October or November. But I just think it's just too easy for these guys now.
Well, also you get to the point where you see, and these guys make a silent agreement in the ring, and their fights turn to sparring matches because they're both making so much money. They both know they're going to come back. Why risk it? Why become a highlight for somebody else? Why, you know, there's no urgency. Like you said, you're going to get paid either way. You're going to come back either way. And that's why you get fights like you got last night. There was no urgency. Nobody was trying to steal the show. No one was trying to get the breakout moment. It was sad to see. It really was. With an opportunity like that, with that platform, the fighting in Times Square, which is this epic moment, Jim Lampley's back, there's all these eyes and so much opportunity, and nobody went for it. Nobody took the bull by the horns. No one tried to be spectacular. Even Rollies. I mean, Rollies had a great night. You know, awesome performance and got the win, whatever, but like, he didn't really go for it. He didn't try and stop Ryan. They threw barely any punches. It was like that all night long. Even Tio, who we'll get to, who looked really good, he like stepped on the gas a little bit in the 12th round. I'm like, why didn't you do this earlier?
He threw the most punches of any guy per round, and it was only 48.
Well, he looked the best for sure, but I think he is the best. I thought he was the best regardless of the how the fights went. But even him, man, I would have liked to have seen more out of him. Like, the daring to be great from these young fighters is gone. It's not good for the sport when you've got guys going out there and basically shadow boxing with each other and having sparring sessions for tens of millions of dollars. I don't know. You get all these eyes on our sport finally, and it's a dud.
No, well, you're right.
It's not good.
It's not good. It's not good. And I'm not like, we work in this business, so we want every fight night, we want it to be the best. And we want it to be the best product. So everyone tunes in every week. Everything keeps going, and we keep doing what we love, talking about a sport that's a niche sport. But you're right. All eyes were on this fight, and maybe it didn't get the. It was on pay per view. It was behind a paywall. It was behind a literal wall out there. And but you're gonna see stuff on social media. Like that's where how most people ingest the next generation digests what's going on in sports. They watch clips the next day on Instagram, or they go to Twitter. And if you went to Twitter after this fight card last night, it was just meme after meme making fun of Devin Haney, meme after meme making fun of Ryan Garcia. So I saw an AI picture of Ryan Garcia working at McDonald's, and it said Ryan Garcia when he doesn't have Oscreen in his system, and he was bagging up fries.
The speed of the internet is crazy.
Just endless, bro. I couldn't stop seeing it. And it wasn't just boxing accounts. It was like entertainment accounts. It was sports accounts. It was like these were big names. Like Devin Haney crossed over into the mainstream after his fight with Ryan Garcia. Ryan Garcia is pegged to be the future face of boxing. When he was riding into that Batmobile, I was like, all right, this guy's going to salvage this show. He's going to have a spectacular knockout. It's going to be seen all over the place the next day on social media and highlights, but he didn't. And to go to the bigger point that you just made before, this is bad for boxing. This was not good. We needed these three guys to shine. Like Devin Haney needed to put on a great performance. Ryan Garcia needed to have a big knockout. Teofimo Lopez, he did win. He did look great. Could have done more, but it's not good for the health of the sport. It's not good to become a laughing stock.
I literally had a handful of people DM me and be like, oh, this is not good for boxing. Like this card was not good for boxing. I had more than a couple of people say that. And it's true. It's unfortunate. Thank God we got a whole weekend full of fights to kind of get that taste out of our mouth. But I don't know, man, we're boxing's in a weird place once again.
Yeah. I mean, this happens all the time. That's when it's like a very humbling experience to cover
boxing is humbling for the fighters and for the pundits and everyone involved. You ride high and you sink low.
It's got a great way of reminding you every once in a while. Like just when we thought after Eubank Ben and then we're heading into this big weekend and some of the bigger fights that we have planned this summer, we're like, wow, you know, we're riding high. Then you're like, nope, wait a second.
Nope, gotta kick the nuts real quick.
Three duds. Just bad, like, like people were upset, like they couldn't see the fight. Like, I think that was I think the people inside had a great time, but I mean, we're talking about ultra celebrities. We're talking about, you know, handpicked media, and I don't know how it looked. I watched it home. I thought it looked okay. I mean, it's a really tough production. I mean, they were there's a lot of moving parts outside in the middle of Times Square. So maybe the microphones weren't up to par at certain times. The edits were kind of strange. The camera angles were a little off than usual. But I think for the most part,
it was. Did you catch that? You could hear the drones. They were like super loud.
Drones. You could hear the super honking, loud, the buzzing, sirens. It just sounded like that was kind of cool. Like you could hear it. Like you're legitimately in the middle of Times Square. Like you heard all that, but. I think that for the most part, I asked what did everyone think of the card, rate the card 1 to 10, and I have 700 replies, and most of them are cool venue, fight sucked. Could have done that at Madison Square Garden, could have done it at Barclays, would have been better to have fans there. And that's another thing too, Chris, I asked you yesterday in the last episode, I think it was just a throw-in question. I was like, do you think fighting at Times Square is going to be a factor in this? For the fighters, that's something you have to prepare for, and I think it played a bigger role than we thought. We're talking about these guys were coming out of a hotel lobby, gloved up in a robe, hopping in a car, and driving. It was bizarre driving to the venue, which was some closed off, quiet little like. I felt like everyone was just. They looked like they were just being stared at in there, and. That did play a role in some of the fight. Like Ryan Garcia said it afterwards. I mean, that's different. Athletes are creatures of habit. And that was something different. I'm not trying to make excuses for why they fought like the way they did, but it does factor in. No crowd really. It was awkward moments of silence during these fights.
Yeah.
Weird.
It felt like a stale atmosphere. And that can, I remember I called a lot of fights in the bubble in Las Vegas during the pandemic, and that stale air certainly had an effect on fighters. Most of them were affected negatively because, listen, we're fighters, we're narcissists. We want all the attention on us. We want to hear the crowd. We want to cheer. Some people are a little more meek. You know, some fighters are a little meek and the lights bother them. Those usually aren't the best guys in the world, though. But so I did see that in the bubble that, you know, some guys actually did better when it was like that. But again, it wasn't the highest level guys. But the highest level guys were all affected by it. I remember even Lomachenko and Teofimo. I think that Lomachenko was negatively affected by fighting in the bubble, fighting without a crowd. So I think that definitely had a factor. And you made a good point, Dan, about how they had to get to the ring. Dude, walking the tunnel is one of the most important things for me to get my mindset to fight. Walking through that tunnel, walking into the arena, feeling like just encroaching darkness all around me, and then walking out into, boom, it's literally like a crossing a threshold from of life and death. That moment, stepping over the threshold into the arena, is such a big part of the ring walk. And these guys didn't have that. Stepping out of a car, gloved up, that's weird. That's so
car,
weird.
Bro, you're on a Batmobile?
I would hate that. I would hate that. But at the end of the day, we're prize fighters, and you gotta go out there and do it.
They're getting paid a ton of money, and no one wants to hear these excuses. But like I said, this all factors in, and I'm trying to figure out why it was such a dud. I'm trying to figure out why it looked like that. I mean, a lot of it was just, there's a lot of variables. Ryan Garcia not looking like himself coming off of PEDs. Devin Haney, PTSD, fighting atrocious fight. Yeah, the B-sides weren't willing to engage. There's a lot of things that factor into that. But for Ryan Garcia, like, what is next for this guy? Will they try to just rush him into a Haney rematch? Is he going to get another fight and try to get his confidence up? This is a big-time name. I think there still is some interest in watching him fight because he is such an enigma. But, man, this is a really bad performance. I just don't know where he goes from here.
Well, listen, if he wants to fight, which is up to him, it certainly seems like he doesn't like being the A-side. He wants to be in big fights because if he's the favorite, he tends to underperform. You know, you put the Tank fight was huge. The Haney fight was huge. He was supposed to lose these fights. And that's when, you know, he got the biggest, most, you know, best part of his career, his best attention. He just didn't look up for this. He didn't look like he wanted to be there. So just throw him into another big fight. If he wants to fight, he wants big money, go fight Giron. Go fight Ennis. Go fight for somebody big in the weight class. Because listen, if you can lose to a guy like Rolis, who's first time fighting at welterweight, you can lose to almost anybody. I don't know. I think if he still wants to fight, just put him in the biggest fights possible. Because I don't know how much we're going to see of him.
Well, do you think they would run it back? He disappeared for a year, and that's not a good sign, bro. You're supposed to be the face of boxing. You have to carry promotions. Like, you are a huge name. You have everything. You have all the ingredients to carry a promotion, Ryan Garcia.
Yes.
We saw it. But you have to be able to do it inside the ring, too. That's why, you know, Canelo is a freak. That's why De La Hoya was unreal. That's why Floyd Mayweather did it for 20 years. I think we need to appreciate what those guys were able to do year in, year out, fighting with all the attention and delivering. But, like, do you think maybe a Ryan Garcia-Rolly rematch? Like, that could be pretty big. I mean, that could be something
Ryan could
be
interested.
I don't know. I really don't know. His post-fight interview, he just seemed like, he's like, I just didn't have it. I said, I don't know. I was out for a year. I had a lot going through my mind. I think a Ryan-Rolly rematch is going to be on the table. I think that could be decent business. And Ryan, once again, if he can figure it out, should be able to beat him.
I mean, Rolly, that does actually make sense. That's probably the best route. Rolly's, of course, going to take it. It's going to be another big payday against a guy that he already beat, and he knows he can beat him. And Ryan gets a shot at revenge, and it'll be a big fight. So, yeah, that makes sense. But I don't know, man. Again, a lot of question marks around Ryan and where he goes forward. But man, Rolly, man, he just stepped into a big bag of money, dude. Good for him, exactly. I mean, listen, we talk about Ryan and how much he's, you know, such a star and star power and star capability. Listen, Rolly's is really good on fight week too, man. He can carry a promotion. He talks the talk. He can fight. He's always in fun fights. So,
and everyone knows who he is, bro. He's fought the biggest names. Like, the Tank fight put him on the map. I know he ended up getting splattered, but it put him on the map. Like, people know Rolly's. Like, a casual boxing fan and even like a casual sports fan kind of knows who Rolly Romero is because he's been on like the meme pages, and he has now beaten Ryan
Garcia. He's hilarious. So
no, he gave me the best interview of the week.
Of course. Of course. He's hilarious. He's good on the mic. He's Rolly one of those guys. He's like a closet smart. Like he's like really clever with the way that he comes up with things and thinks things. And you know, we used to kind of make fun of him being like, he's the best worst trash talker in the world. But you know, he's crazy, he's gained, like a fox, man.
He's got he's gained respect of the fight fans out there for sure. What he did to Ryan Garcia and bouncing back with some of those bad losses early on. Devin Haney versus Jose Ramirez might have been one of the worst fights I've ever seen. Statistically, one of the worst fights in the history of boxing. Devin Haney wins a unanimous decision 119, 109 twice, 118, 110. Chris, they combined to throw 503 punches, which is the fifth lowest total in the history of CompuBox, which has been around for 40 years. Devin Haney threw 224 punches. That's 18 per round. That's abysmal. 224 punches. I think you threw that in two rounds, Chris.
Yes. Yeah. There was two consecutive rounds of my career that I threw more punches than that, for sure. Bro,
here's a stat that's going to blow your mind. Devin Haney has thrown, all right, let me pull it up right now. Devin Haney has thrown 438 punches over his last 24 rounds. Amanda Serrano threw 450 in the final five rounds versus Katie Taylor, and those were two-minute rounds.
Two-minute rounds. man, Devin throws punches like it costs him money. It's crazy.
He's getting paid a lot. Getting paid per punch, getting paid a lot. I just, from the opening bell, I think Tarver did a really good job of recognizing that right away. His legs were moving so fast. Like, his legs did not look like they were connected to the rest of his body and brain. Mm-hmm. And it was just move, in and out, in and out. And it went on. I was like, all right, is this going to be two or three rounds of this? Is he eventually going to settle in? He hasn't been in the ring in 12 months, and he's had a tumultuous 12 months. No. He danced and moved for 12 rounds. Did not want to engage, did not want to get hit with a guy in Jose Ramirez who was ripe for the taking. He got the win, Haney, but that left me with more questions than answers.
It looked like he was going to roll his ankles. They were going so fast. His feet were in every direction. Tarver was great pointing that out. But Ramirez, he shot. I'm sorry. He didn't look good in the Barboza fight. He did not look good last night. His feet just aren't there. His legs aren't there. He couldn't pull the trigger. And granted, he had a guy who didn't want to engage, but he had no extra gear. He couldn't step it up. Like, it was just one pace the whole time, which he kind of always was like that, but the pace was faster then. Now, I don't know. And I had said prior to this fight, I was like, I think the Haneys are doing a masterful job of matchmaking once again, because Ramirez was perfectly right for the taking, but Devin just would not stand in front of him. And I think he really could have. I think he could have traded with him. I think he could have stood in front of him. I think he actually could have done some real damage, because Ramirez just was not there. You know, he was there physically, but the Ramirez of old is gone. So Haney, I think, really left a really big opportunity to make a statement last night. But he's been out of the ring for a year, and he is a rhythm fighter. Those kind of guys, they need to be active. You can't just like come back right into a big fight. You gotta find your feet get your feet underneath you, literally. So in that case, because it was, you know, Haney's coming off that year layoff because of the kind of fighter that he is, because of all the BS that happened in that last fight with Devin and the peds and the damage he took. You know, maybe there is some PTSD there, but he's got to put that behind him. His next performance has got to be something for real, and it's got to be against somebody who's good.
We always keep saying this about Haney, though, man. His next performance, he has to sit down and punch his next performance. He has to try to go for a knockout. Yeah. Next performance, but like, we're getting up there. This might be who Devin Haney is, especially after that year off. And he fought like a guy that did not want to get hit. And here's the deal with this Devin Haney fight. He won the fight. He could probably fight like this for the next 10 years and be very successful. In and out, in and out. Unanimous decision win. Get your hand raised. But boxing is a sport. It's a business. You have to be a draw. Devin Haney will never be able to carry a promotion and be the A-side in mega fights if he continues to fight like this. 18 punches a round, 224 punches in a 12-round fight when people are paying to watch you fight is not going to get it done. I understand he won the fight. He got his hand raised. But there are variables here. Jose Ramirez was not engaging. I know it's understand it's hard to to land when a guy isn't engaging, but he was also there for the taking. I thought that Haney, well, if he stepped into the pocket, he could have gotten Ramirez out of there and he could have quieted all of the haters. All week long, Haney was playing the villain role. He's listening to the crowd. He's smiling. He's playing it up. He finally realizes I can be the villain in this sport and make a lot more money too. But you have to be able to entertain. Like Floyd was the villain and he landed 50% of his power shots and he threw power shots and he was willing to stand and trade at times. Haney in this fight didn't look like it. I guess you're right. We have to see how he comes out in his next fight. But heading into this one off of the year that he had and all these allegations that he doesn't have a chin and, you know, he's never going to be the same. And you go in there and you avoid any interaction at all. Like you straight up were on your bike the entire night. There are going to be question marks. We're going to wonder what the heck that was. Got his hand raised, but you have to look at how he won and who was in the ring with him. And what it means for the sport and what it means in a sport where you have to be a draw and you have to entertain the crowd. That did not entertain the crowd. That was one of the worst fights I've ever seen.
No, it was soul sucking watching that fight. It would have taken all of the energy out of a room. But you mentioned Floyd a couple times. Let's just give that man some flowers. Where's all the people who used to hate Floyd's style? Oh, he's a runner. He's this. Oh, yeah? Really? Look at what we have in front of us now. Floyd put on entertaining fights. Yes, he went to decision most of the time, especially in the higher weight classes. But he threw punches. He was always fast. He was always explosive. He was sharp. He was doing damage. He was willing to stand in front of guys like Miguel Cotto. You remember that fight? He stood in front of Miguel Cotto. He stood on the ropes of Miguel. Got his nose bloody. That was a good fight. That was a really good fight. This seemed like an opportunity like that too, because you know. Cotto wasn't really a 54 pounder. They fought a 54. You know, he probably wasn't in his best weight class. Wasn't as hit the actual prime. Haney had that opportunity with Ramirez. He could have stood in front of him. He could have made that a fight. He could have bit down on his mouthpiece a little bit. He could have shown everyone he has balls, and he just chooses not to. And I really think it's just a choice. I think if he just needs to make that decision. Oh,
that was a decision. That was a decision he made.
Absolutely. He fought that way on purpose. He was in control of what he was doing. And you're right. Yeah, he won. I mean, the scores are super wide. I think the judges gave Ramirez one or two rounds, which, I mean, I don't blame him. The guy didn't throw any punches. But, I don't know. I think we could talk about this. So we're blue in the face. Devin has so much potential, and he's just not stepping up. And it's a shame because his career, how he's built up, you know, where he could be. They were taking the Floyd Mayweather approach. He's supposed to be making, he's supposed to be a $100 million athlete. And you can't do that if you don't entertain.
But it's not even a debate. Like, people are coming at me on Twitter because I criticized Haney's performance right after the fight. And I put that stat on there about Serrano. They're like, well, let's hear it about Ryan Garcia. This guy got his hand raised. This is racism. Everything under the sun. Like, what? No. This is using your eyeballs. There's no way, if you're a Devin Haney fan, there's no way you watched that fight and were like, wow, that was great. Yeah. Like, if you like that style of boxing, then on the same page.
That's not a style of boxing.
If you could defend that style of boxing, if you can look me in the eye as a boxing fan and defend what Devin Haney did in the ring on Saturday night, then we're just not on the same page as boxing fans, because that's not how you grow the sport. That's not how you get people to tune in. That's how you have to pay to watch. This is pay-per-view.
But that's also not how Devin Haney fights.
Where was the Devin Haney versus Lomachenko?
I was in the room that night. I called that fight. That was awesome. He stood in front. He was going. He was ripping body shots. He was being physical. You know, he's got it in him. Like we said before, it was a choice to fight that way. He chooses to fight this safety first approach. But even beyond being safety first, I get safety first. I understand when fighters fight that way. I this is a very dangerous sport, and nobody helps you. None of these people are going to change your diapers later on when you're an old man and beat up. So I understand when guys are safety approach, but last night was like, it was a frenetic, tentative. That was not a style of boxing. That's why when you said like, extreme. Oh, defend that style. No, it was so extreme. The footwork was all over the place. His willingness to engage, all of his movements were like extra, like jumping back. And, you know, it was just, I don't know. He looked very uncomfortable in there. Again, it could be the idea that he's been out of the ring for a long time. It could be that he's got a little PTSD from that last fight. He's a rhythm fighter. He's got to find himself. But yeah, man, it's just, I think he's got to get back in the ring soon.
I don't think a long layoff is going to be good for Devin Haney. Get right back in there. Get this fight, you know, in the back, in the rear view, and keep moving forward.
Well, yeah. Well, what are they going to do now? Like, so Ryan Garcia loses to Rolly Romero. Devin Haney doesn't look great against Jose Ramirez. They're supposed to have a rematch in October. Will they go forward with that rematch? Does the public care to watch that rematch?
Nope. I don't. Do you? Do you want to see that fight?
It's dead right now.
Dead.
They have to revive it somehow, right? As of now, Devin Haney, Ryan Garcia too, which one is one of the most hot, the hottest rematch you could make in the sport just a few months ago, is dead in the water.
Yep.
That's crazy.
This bill was supposed to make that fight. And I mean, it went 180 degrees the wrong direction. we're not seeing that fight anytime soon.
Well, this is another thing you can talk about. Tarver said this too. It's a bad omen when you announce a fight before you have another fight. And that's something that the Riyadh season in Turkey and Saudi, you know, they get really excited. They get excited, and we as fans get excited when we storylines and all that. And it's great build up. But we've seen this in the past so many times. Joseph Parker, upsetting the apple cart.
This isn't WWE. You can't make fights in advance. You can't write a storyline. You can't write the narratives. The narratives have to be real and organic. This is a sport. It's not entertainment. I know it's an entertainment business, but guess what? These guys still have to fight and win. They still have to show up. You can't be doing that. You can't consistently make these fights in advance, because this is going to happen over and over again. And this has happened so much in the last couple of years. Ben, you've been around this sport forever. When you talk to promoters about their guy and their fight, they always go, well, I mean, I hope, I don't know, because you never know. You never know. What are you going to do next? Well, I don't know. It depends what happens on Saturday. You could have the best guy in the world. He could be a 20 to 1 favorite. When you talk to longtime lifers in this sport on the promotion side, they always go, well, we'll see what happens on Saturday. That's the only way you can be.
Yeah, they've seen it, and they don't want to count the money before it's there. But you have someone in Turkey who could make any fight possible at any time. So therefore, you can announce a fight with Ryan and Devin Haney for October, because you know the money's going to be there. You know that there's not going to be any problems with the negotiation, which has been the holdup for years before Turkey came into it. We would think we were going to get a Fury versus Usyk, and then they go to the negotiating table and we hear that the fight doesn't happen. You don't hear that anymore. We know that these fights are going to happen because the money is so large. So therefore, you can look ahead to an October rematch for Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia, and you can announce them. They're going to take interim fights. I think that was a big mistake. I think Eubank and Ben should not make this mistake. Just go right into the rematch. Don't take any interim fights. Just don't let no more marinating. Marinating is not good. Like, we've seen that in the past too. It's just not good. But man, with Devin Haney, I don't understand. Like, I'm a big fan of Devin. I freaking defended the guy for the last year. You know, I didn't understand why he became the villain. I didn't understand why we were praising a guy that failed the PED test in Ryan Garcia and did everything wrong and broke all the rules. And now I have people tell me that I'm going too hard for Ryan Garcia, and I'm not giving Devin Haney credit. I just don't get how you watch that performance on Saturday night, on Friday night, and we're like, yeah, I want to see more of that. I want to see more of that Devin Haney. Oh yeah, I love what he did in there. I love when he threw 18 punches around. I love that.
I figured it out, Dan. It's you. You're the problem, because the common denominator in all those situations was you, buddy. So
I guess I'll hang it up. I'm taking the plug out of the mic.
You have a boxing podcast? I can't believe that. It's crazy.
You guys, you know, you put your gloves in the middle of the ring when you retire. I'm unplugging the mic. I'm laying it down here in the studio. I'm done. Devin Haney broke me.
Back to baseball, Dan. Back to baseball.
Back to the John Boy Media. I'm going back to the warehouse. I just wanted more. Like, I just was like, what was that whole night? Like,
all right, can we talk about the one positive thing?
Yes.
Damn, Teofimo Lopez is good. He is such a freak athlete, dude. He's just so twitchy. I mean, he looked like he was sparring in there, but it was because he was so damn good. And Barboza is a really tough out. He makes everyone look bad. And he could barely win a round. Tio was just in his bag, dude. He found it early. He kept it going. He finished strong. I would like to see him step on the gas a little bit more, you know, hit a different gear. But he's that damn good that even you know, in a sparring partner, sparring situation, like, just dominating. Just in total control, super athlete, slipping, rolling, sliding, firing combinations. Got hit with one good right hand that buzzed him in round six. Mm-hmm. But then other than that, I mean, he looked great. I love when a guy like that, who I always praise. When we talk about all these guys, I always say 140. It's Teofimo Lopez. He's a top dog. But he has those subpar performances that people can get on you about. But then he shows his brilliance, and it just shuts all that up. Because what that guy can do in that ring is something special. And he showed, he didn't show all of it last night, but he showed enough, man. That kid, he's really something else. I'm going off on a tangent now because I'm thinking about Kambosos. You take that Kambosos fight, Ada, and he's in the top 5 pound for pound. He's so damn good.
He's so good, and it's just he's so up and down, and he was up yesterday. Yeah. And he was him up. Being the first fight of the night didn't do him any favors in terms of comparison, because I was a little harsh on him after the fight because I had the same feeling you did. I was like, man, that 12th round, I want to see Teo do that in the 5th round. I want to see him try to take guys out. And understand he's not at he doesn't have the same advantages at 140 as he did at 135. Yeah. And that kind of has given people a different look at Teofimo. He was knocking everyone out at 135 because he had advantages over all those other lightweights. Goes up to 140, and he's not scoring knockouts like he did at 135, but he's doing it on athleticism. He's doing it off of sheer skill and God-given talent. And
boxing IQ, everything.
He's got it all. He's got it all. And we just have to just come to grips with he's not a knockout puncher at 140, and he's definitely not going to be a knockout guy at 147. He just is able to do things, and he wasn't able to get hit. Barboza only landed 71 punches. And in this fight, he showed a new wrinkle. He threw a career-high 375 jabs. Versus the bigger, longer guy in Barboza, which was super impressive. I was a little harsh on Teofimo afterwards. I said it was a good performance. It wasn't outstanding. The commentary team, which we have to kind of grade on a curve because Jim hasn't called a lot of boxing. Tarver's a little rusty. They were making it out to be like this virtuoso, like, look at him dancing in there. They were going a little too hard for Teofimo. So I thought it was a very solid performance, considering some of the past performances we've seen from Teofimo. You're right. If he didn't have that Kambosos fight, we're talking about a top 5 talent. I think he's going to inch his way back in because he has a lot of momentum. 27 years old, coming into his physical prime. Some big names out there. I just don't know exactly what's next for Teofimo. Like 147 is a whole new weight class. Some big guys up there. But yeah, he was awesome. Like him fighting first didn't do him any favors because it was a good performance. But we're like, oh, Haney's going to show out and then Ryan's going to steal the show. But if Teofimo was last,
yeah, we'd all be talking about Teofimo,
right? If Teofimo fought last and he was the main event, which he should have been. The guy was it was a legit world title fight.
Right.
And he fought last, and Haney stinks it up in the co-main, and Ryan loses to Rolly in the first fight of the night, and then Lopez looks like we wanted these other guys to look. Yeah, we're praising Teofimo, but I hope a lot of fans can realize that, you know, he probably is the class of out of all of these. His contemporaries right now. Right now, he's number one.
He proved me wrong, too, because I was trying to break down this fight. And Barboza is generally the guy kind of style that gives Teofimo trouble because Tio doesn't have a dedicated disciplined jab. Guess what? The guy does now. He came out with a disciplined jab. Like you said, he threw over 300 jabs a fight. Like he was jabbing high. He was jabbing low. He was changing levels. He was coming forward. He's normally much more of a counterpuncher. But yeah, no, he got on his jab, was able to, you know, back Barboza up, get him to second guess himself. And then he made Barboza take the lead. And then he started countering. I mean, it was actually from a boxing IQ perspective, which is probably why, you know, Tarver was speaking so highly about Lopez, because when you're a fighter and you watch what he's doing and you really understand the things that he's setting up and able to do, it's hard not to be like, man, this guy is awesome. And you're seeing all these little nuanced things that he does. So the fact that he found his jab, I mean, I've been high on Teofimo for a long time, but now, I mean, he's getting better too, which is that's something to say. Really looking forward to where he's going to go. And Dan, you're right. It's funny. When I watched the fight, I was like, good performance. I want a little bit more. But then the whole rest of the card was such a soul-sucking event.
Can we bring him back again? Can we watch that fight?
Yeah, can we bring him back out and have him do another couple rounds with somebody? Jeez.
Do like a backflip or something? But yeah. What's next for him is the interesting thing, because if you look around the other champions at 140, Alberto Puello is not going to excite Teofimo Lopez. Gary Russell would be an awesome fight, but does that excite Does that excite Teofimo Lopez?
I don't think so.
Hitchens versus Cambosos winner. Does that, I mean, that could be a, maybe a Hitchens versus Teofimo could be a fun stylistic fight, but I just don't know where Teofimo's at. The guy wants to be a star so freaking bad and wants to be in the biggest fights. He didn't bring up any of those other names at 140. He didn't say, I want to unify the division. Hitchens, who was there, I'm coming for you, Africa. That's what he calls him. That's what Hitchens calls himself. I'm coming for you. Then next is Gary Russell. Then Amber Poirier. No, he didn't say that. He said, I'm looking for Boots Ennis. Teofimo Lopez wants to go up to 147 pounds and challenge Boots Ennis. I don't know about that. What do you think about Boots taking on Teofimo? Is that a bridge? Is that just too much for Teofimo?
Yeah, it is. And I was just giving him glowing respect, Teofimo, but it's too much. We have weight classes for a reason. We were just talking about how Tio's not a knockout puncher at 40. He's small for 40. And at 47, he's going to be even smaller, obviously. And Boots is huge at 47. Like, he's essentially a 54-pounder, Boots. So, and it's not like he's just like this big, you know, plotting 54, 47 guy. He's super skilled. He's got a good boxing IQ. He's fast. He's twitchy. The fight, I don't know why he wants that fight so bad, but as crazy as it sounds, when that guy calls people out, he's right. He called out Taylor, and everybody was like, whoa, whoa, dude, easy, easy, easy. He whipped Taylor's ass. He called out Lomachenko. He was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I remember actually the Lomachenko fight. I was like, I don't know. There are things this kid can do that really. And then, obviously, he did it. So when he calls guys out, he means it. He's crazy like a fox.
One of the first interviews I ever did in the history of this show, we used to do it at Jack Doyle's bar next to MSG. Yeah. MSG, and Teofimo was fighting on the undercard. He was 19 or 20 years old. Evan Korn from Top Rank said, hey, I can't get you Terrence Crawford, but I could bring Teofimo Lopez to the bar. I said, yeah, of course. Let's interview him. Sit down with him for the first time, and I'm like, damn, this kid is cocky. Damn, this kid is confident. And he told me at that time, he goes, I'm going to fight Lomachenko, and I'm going to beat him. I still have the clip, and I'm trying not to like react, like I don't want to laugh in his face because I was like, you're not gonna. This is when Lomachenko was Lomachenko. I was like, you're not gonna. Mm-hmm. I'm like, really, bro? Like, and he was like, within 2 years, I will fight Lomachenko and I will beat him. And I remember just walking away from that interview with him at the time, being like, wow, this kid's brash, and let's see if he can do it. Goes on and does it. So yeah, like he's always had that in him, and you have to have that in you to be a legit world title fighter. But who knows if he can take on a Boots. But there is weight classes for a reason. How about this, though? Playing matchmaker right here. Why don't we get Teofimo versus Haney, finally, at 147? Yeah. Yep. They're around the same size. It has all the buildup there. And then put Ryan and Rolly, run that back, put that on the same card.
I like it. Why not? Or even have him fight at a catchweight. Have him fight at 144. Haney likes 44. You know, T.O.'s not really a 47-pounder either. You know? But, yeah, that when I was watching the fights last night, especially once I saw that Ryan wasn't going to win, the first thing came to mind was like, I don't know, why not? Why not Haney T.O.? You know, we're not gonna, I don't think we're getting Haney-Ryan, maybe ever. Why not get the T.O. fight? I mean, that's another thing I wish these guys would. When I was talking about the promotion of this fight, the lead-up and the lack of fireworks, part of that would be like, if you guys are all around the same weight class, you should all be calling each other out the whole time. Like if we're on the dais together, like if I'm Haney, if I'm Teo, I'm calling out those guys. You mentioned Ism talk about the 140 pounders. He's only talking about Jaron. I'm next to Haney. Haney, I want to whip your ass. Yo, Ryan, I want you as well. Yo, Rollies, we can run it. I think these guys missed a lot of opportunities. You know, and
this is too much. I think there's just too much going on at once. That's another factor here too. Like I've been to a lot of fight weeks. This fight week was intense with the amount of media and like the amount of where these guys are getting pulled over the place. Like they were doing a lot all week long.
Well, that can affect performances too. When I fought Pacquiao, they ran me ragged fight week all over Macau and over China. And it's exhausting. It can take a lot out of you. So there's that too. And remember Zab Judah?
Pay-per-view.
You do. Zab Judah, when he fought the Argentinian, Baldomir, he said that he freaked out because like they ran him around that whole week and he blamed that performance on that. So that's another thing too, Dan. You know, you're coming up with a lot of ideas, a lot of excuses for these guys.
I'm not an excuse maker, but I will bring up all the variables. I will bring up everything that goes into a fight week. I see it myself. I take it all in. I observe on fight weeks. I observe fighters. I figure out – interesting fight week. A lot of moving parts. You know, interesting way to get to the ring via Batmobile through a fucking hotel in the middle of Times Square. Fans taking pictures.
A yellow cab. A New York City yellow cab.
It was a bizarre, bizarre night. I mean, it was Turkey tried to do something crazy, but, you know, there's a reason why for the last 100 years this fight, I mean, boxing for the most part has fought in arenas with live gates and fans and that experience. He tried, but I don't think they'll do something like this again. I think it was a cool one-time thing, but don't do it again. But in terms of going back to Teofimo and where he stands, you know what they should start doing? Instead of like, all right, Ryan and Devin too is coming down the pipe. They should say like, hey, we have Tio, we have Haney, we have Ryan, we have Rolly fighting on this card. Depending on what happens on fight night, then we're going to make fights after it. And then like today they announce it, or then today they start talking about the negotiations. So if they would have went in and said, hey guys, this is the beauty of this card is we have all these big names. And then after we'll see how all of this plays out, all the drama, let the drama unfold. And then on Monday morning, we'll reassess. And we're going to use these same names in moving on fights. We do it anyway. Like, I just threw out Teofimo versus Haney and Ryan versus Rolly. Like, we'll get something like that anyway. But maybe takes some of the pressure off these guys. Maybe it makes it a little more exciting. Maybe it lowers expectations for fans.
Here's a novel idea. Why don't we do what has been done since the beginning of time of this sport? And you start making fights in the post-fight press conference. I got the Pacquiao fight at the post-fight press conference for Ruslan. That's where that idea got thrown out, and that's when it happened. Bob Arum got up there and said, I want to see that Algeria kid fight Pacquiao. That's how the fight happened. Because if you talk about it beforehand they were talking about Ruslan fighting Pacquiao.
Right. And you upset the apple cart.
Right, and then you shift, and then you change over, and you go to the next. And like, but again,
they're gonna
like,
do it anyway. But it'll be nice if they made that part of the promotion. It's like, hey, we have all these guys under our contracts, and they're going to fight each other because we're going to pay them 10 times more than they're used to. So,
yeah, Turkey got up in the post-fight press conference, goes, you know, I liked how Teofimo looked tonight. And you know what? Devin Haney, he impressed me. Let's make that fight next.
Teofimo's going to be his new shiny toy now. There's no way that Turkey watched that Haney performance and was like, yes, that's what I envisioned when I decided to make this my new hobby. And you know that he didn't look at Ryan and said the same thing. There's no way he looked at Ryan and was like, that's the guy I want to continue to throw dollars at. And you know that he
probably liked Rollies. He probably liked Rollies. Yeah, and but like you said, Teofimo, obviously. But
Teofimo, yes. Rolly, I love what Rolly did, but can you build around him as like a bona fide guy? I don't know yet. I think Teofimo has got everything going right now in terms of like who's coming out looking great. Like stock, we take a look at their stocks right now. Teofimo is blue chip stock right now. Haney's in the shitter, just like the rest of stocks in this country. And Ryan Garcia is down. Haney's up.
Ryan might be out, dude. He might be out.
He might be all. You can't even trade with him anymore. He's not even on. Yeah. He's not even on your the apps. You can't.
He's not even on the stock ticker anymore. He's not public anymore.
Shakur Stevenson tweeted after, which I found very, very funny. Don't worry, I got you guys. I'll see you in July.
Oh, like I'm coming. I'll entertain. Okay, cool.
Which I found to be quite ironic. But he could be a guy. We need to look at him. I'm not going to hold my breath that he'll come out and throw a lot of punches, but you know, he's looking pretty good. Tank. Here's what I want to do to end the show. It's been the four kings, quote unquote, of this new era, the baby kings. What were we calling them? It's for years. It was Teofimo Lopez, the young kings, the second generation kings, not the ones that we grew up watching who are legit kings. This new age kings of Teofimo, Haney,
Ryan. We're going to call them the princes, the four princes.
The four princes that we have now that all came up at around the same time. It's Teofimo, it's Haney, it's Ryan, and it's Tank. We've had a few years now to assess them. They have all won big fights. They have all lost big fights. They've all underperformed in big fights. How would you reassess those four now? Teofimo, Haney, Ryan, and Tank.
Tank. I've always had Tio number one. Tio's, I think, is the guy, and I've been saying that for a long time. Tio, he's got it in terms of resume. You know, he's undisputed. He's got wins over Lomachenko and Taylor. He's got bigger wins than everybody. And on top of that, I think just physical talent and gifts and ability. I think he's number one. Tank number two. Number three.
Dude, it's Haney and number four, Ryan. Ryan, to me, he will always have an asterisk because of the drug testing, because of the weight thing. His biggest win, which isn't even a win, it was taken from the record, was the Haney fight. He's never beaten a world champion. He just lost to Rollies. Yeah, that's my, I got Tio, Tank, Haney, Ryan.
I agree.
No question.
I agree with that list. I've just been looking at him. Tio, ups and downs, more ups mm-hmm. than downs. Camboso's loss, now starting to come into his own. Haney, ups and downs, the Ryan Garcia fight, and also now just a lackluster style that is not leaving fans wanting to watch him. Ryan, a lot of ups and downs. Not the guy we thought he was going to be. Never has become a world champion. Is never going to live up to the hype or live up to what his celebrity and
probably
status.
Will never be a world champion. Probably will never be a world champion.
It's looking less and less. And then we have Tank, who was clearly head and shoulders better than all these guys in terms of skills, knockouts, draw, what he can bring to the table in terms of live gates and general interest in the sport. But he has just faltered for the first time in his career, where many thought he lost that fight, and he got a draw with Lamont Roach. So it's an interesting to look at these guys a few years later, and they all have had their bumps and bruises. And it just sucks that Tank is not like, well, it's the first time I'm bringing up Tank. It's the end of this episode, is because, mm-hmm. you know, he's not on this side of the street. There are street sides now. It's either you're with Turkey or you're not. And Tank isn't right now, because I'd love to see Tank versus Teofimo.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Yes. That's an awesome fight. Me? Well, I was thinking last night, yeah, how do you not think about it? The main event, Tank knocked out both those guys.
Yeah, he did.
He knocked out Ryan and Rollies, like viciously knocked them both out.
If Tank would have beat Roach, Tank would have been riding, Tank fans and Tank himself, they would have been just super cocky. Laughing at all this, but Tank is quiet. Yes. He's in the lab. He's getting ready for Lamont Roach, but just leads to the bigger discussion of all these guys have taken their bumps and bruises. One other thing too, Chris, is I just listed those four fighters. They're all counter punchers.
Yes.
All those guys throw under 30 punches around. Yes. Like Sugar Ray Leonard threw that in one flurry. Like, so we have a generation of fighters. That not even new, like these guys aren't, they've been around for a long time. This four-headed monster of stars that are supposed to carry U.S. boxing don't take risks inside the ring. They don't throw punches. They're all fight the same. They're timid counter punchers that don't want to engage.
It's the most successful, you know, what is boxing, right? Hit and don't be hit. It is the most successful style. And you're seeing guys that are adapting. And that's the age that we're in right now. Our man, Naoya Inoue, who fights tomorrow, he says it all the time, that the American fighters don't take risks. The Japanese fighters have a warrior spirit, and they're willing to engage much more, which is why you get the style that you get with him. And it's harder to fight that way. You're going to get hit. Naoya Inoue gets hit. Sugar Ray Leonard used to get hit. Like, he was in there, man. But you have to be super, super special to be a Naoya Inoue or a Sugar Ray Leonard. And not to say that these guys aren't special, you know, with their attributes, their ability, their twitchiness. But yeah, we're in the era of the slick counterpuncher. You know, these guys don't want to get hit, and I don't blame them, but it definitely leads to nights like last night.
It's not good. I don't think no one's going to want to clamor and pay to watch Devin Haney fight again. I know he was laughing after the fight, like in Ryan's face. You should have been like, dude, embarrassed, because this is a business, and you, like, you're, that money went out the window, or did it?
I don't know.
The money might still be there, which is, and then that's a big problem, is that Haney might just be rewarded with a huge fight. I mean, we're talking about Haney fighting Teofimo. That's a big fight.
Yep, it's a big fight.
But he won.
Haney's going to go into big fights. Absolutely.
He won. He won the fight. Yeah. He won. He didn't lose. Ryan Garcia lost. Haney did win the fight, but I just did not like the way he fought. Ryan Garcia lost, and he'll probably be back because of his star power. Teofimo looked the best, and he might get in there with some big names now too. But wild times, Times Square, weird night, did not live up to the hype. That's why they fight the fights. You could bring the stage, you could create an unbelievable scene, but you got to get in the ring, and you got to perform. And for the most part, these guys didn't do that.
It's up to Field of Dreams. Build it and they will come, but they're not necessarily going to fight. They're not necessarily going to fight hard.
Ooh, yeah, they made it.
Build it and they will come. They came. But they built
like, if they did a Field of Dreams, but they put the corn stalks around the whole thing and you couldn't see it. The fans were locked out. I didn't even go. They told – I got an email the morning of the fight saying you are approved for fight night credentials, but you can only watch it Bubba Gump Shrimp.
Yeah, no thanks.
And what I heard was the TVs weren't even working in there. You had zero view of the action. So I'm going to watch on my couch.
Listen, I went on record. As soon as this thing was announced, I said, I don't want to be there. Unless I'm getting paid big money, I do not want to be there.
I would like to be inside of in those walls, but you know, I'm not, you know why I'm not. We're not in there. We're not in there. We're too critical, maybe. I don't know.
We're not in the circle of trust. That's all. We're not in the circle of trust.
Fine by me. Fine by me. Enjoy the fights. There's more fights. Naoya Inoue, Canelo Alvarez will hopefully have big knockouts to get this wretched taste out of our mouths. But we're back later on when Chris returns from Vegas. We'll be back to recap Inoue and Canelo and talk about any other hijinks that happened in this wonderful sport that we all love. What's going on?
Fifth show of the week, man. Fifth show of the week. We're
killing
it.
You're about to host a weigh-in. You ready for that?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not. I gotta iron my shirt. We got an early call time. But yeah, today we're hosting the weigh-in with Poncher and your boy Nonito Donaire, our mutual friend.
I love
Nonito's the best.
Together.
Yeah, we're
when you guys hang out, it's like my world's colliding. I'll see him in Orlando because I'm heading to Orlando next week. All right, everyone. Nice. Enjoy the fights. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs, especially if you're Devin Haney fan. Leave me alone. See you.